Oh, there you go.
All right. Everybody's here has got your wax out now. Wax on, wax off. Amen. Karate Kid, y'all already had it. All right, the number one story last night was Floyd. Two of the most awesome dudes in the world. And of course, he's better than Muhammad Ali and all this stuff was going on. But it was labeled as the fight of the century. Win, lose, or draw, Mayweather, just from the fight itself, made $400 million. Win, lose, or draw. Can you imagine win, lose, or draw? I would fight him if I knew I could get that kind of money, win, lose, or draw. I'd take an early drop. As a matter of fact, as I hit the ground, my hand would be held like this, drop the money in my hand, so when I get up, I'm rich. Amen. Yeah. And there was so much hype about this fight last night. And people went all the way to Las Vegas because, you know, one seat ringside cost over $350,000. I happened to see one man on the news. They were interviewing him, and he paid $88,000, flew from Africa to watch it. $1,000 was a steal. And when I found out that a lot of ringside seats were going for $356,000, $88,000 is a steal. Amen. I'm thinking all these guys need some mental work done to them to pay that kind of money. You know, but people wanted to see it so bad, the bars in Las Vegas, people were flying to Las Vegas to get in a bar. A bar. Y'all say bar. To get in a bar and spend $150 to $300 to watch it on television. Can you imagine paying $300 to go sit in a bar across the street from the fight to watch it in a bar? I mean, you could stay home and watch it on pay-per-view. Amen. They've been having to drive all that way. But that, you know, and Mayweather won. It just goes to show you he's a boxer and Pacquiao is a fighter, and if you get a boxer, a good boxer, he'll beat a fighter any day because he knows how to maneuver himself to take on a fighter. A fighter knows how to hit you hard, but at the same time, you know, it's like, how many ever watched the Rocky movies? Remember all the way to Rocky III, Rocky was a brawler. He was a fighter. Then after Apollo got with him, he made him a boxer. He got him in his, you know, in the thing. Well, you know what? All that aside, guess what? You know what I really think about all that? Fight last night. I didn't win any money. No matter who won that contest, it didn't change my lifestyle none whatsoever. And I can guarantee you, it was labeled as the fight of the century. But the biggest fight that was in this place was not by Mayweather and Pacquiao. The biggest fights that were in this place and are going on even today is in the hearts and the lives of God's people that are sitting right here, right here. Amen? This isn't win, lose, or draw $400 million. This is life and death. Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to do anything he can just to beat you down and beat you down and beat you down. And, you know, people are not going to come from miles around, fly from Africa to watch you get beat down. Sometimes you feel like you're in it all by yourself. You ever feel like you're getting beat down and you're in it all by yourself? Amen? Here's what we're going to talk about. Get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out. And turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. One of my favorite verses of Scripture. And I've preached on it many times. And until I die, I'm going to keep on preaching on Scripture. It's just so awesome. Everybody got your towel from this morning? Amen. That was so funny when I said, Daniel said, what is that? Dad, look at it. He's tore all the pieces. I said, that should be a towel back in Jesus' day. He said, look, you got it from my house. At least he said, that looks like my towel, Dad. I said, no. And I cut off of this towel to get y'all towels. So there's still more towels out there in the back. if you know somebody that's having a hard time, and especially if they're having a hard time with their self, grab them a towel. They're in the back, they're in the back. Just grab a towel. Grab as many as you want. Put them in your pocket. Give them to somebody. I can guarantee you, when you put that towel in your hand, you begin to think about what Jesus did. All of a sudden, it'll make things get a little clearer. And to help you with attitudes and with stinking feet. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. What is that saying? That's actually saying the divine light of God is in us, in our frail human bodies. No matter how big you are, no matter how bad you are, you're still a human. And Satan is a spirit. And Satan comes to you with every chance, every opportunity, every doorway you leave open, every glitch in your armor, any way he can attack you, whether it be through a direct attack or through somebody else, or even through your own self. He knows how to get his job done. And so it says, because we're in his earthen vessels, that when people see us win this fight, they'll know that we didn't do it on our own. Amen? I'm going to tell you a little story. Last night, y'all don't tell him if you ever see him again. Y'all don't even know who this is, but there was a guy up here playing a guitar. And I put this mic right here. I said, there's your mic. There was another guy. I said, there's your mic. I adjusted to their mouths. I said, here you go. You don't have to worry about it. There it is. All right? I go up to run sound, and they take it and do this with me. And I said, what are they doing? They got through singing. I walked up to them and I said, dudes, why'd you turn those things around like that? I started to go down and put it back up there, but I said, if they didn't want it there, they must have knew why. Then I found out, he said he put it up here. He said he got ready to sing and he looked and he didn't notice a wire coming from it. Matter of fact, he told me, he said, oh, they're cordless. I said, yeah, they make them nowadays. He said, I just thought I would look stupid singing into something that had no power. And I said, it couldn't look any worse than this. I told him next time he comes, I'm going to make sure we have a special corded mic just for him. But you know what? People get confused when they see you standing strong because they don't see how you're doing it, because they don't see the power. They don't see what you're connected to. We see him who is invisible. We see something a whole lot greater than some power cord. Amen? We have something awesome in us. And here it is. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now that is an awesome, awesome thing. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for this night. I thank you, Lord, for what you do for us, Lord. I thank you, God, that you're such an awesome God. I thank you, Lord, that you're helping us to move forward, Lord. I thank you, God, that there's more ways than one, God. We can see your hand in a very powerful way, and we ask you, Lord, to continue to let that hand be upon us, Lord. Father, I know there's plenty of people right now, Lord, that are fighting battles, and they need your hand. I ask you right now, Lord, to help them, Father, to know, Lord, that we're cordless mics. But the reason we're still cordless, but the power is coming from you, and we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God, you're a powerful God, and everything belongs to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, amen. Now remember, that fight last night, the fight of the century, didn't cost me a dime. I didn't pay to watch it. I paid to watch one fight, and the guy went down in the first round. I said, it's the last fight I'm paying for. Paid all that money, and the guy goes down in the first fight. First round. And the guy that was supposed to help me pay for it, he decided he wasn't going to come. He didn't pay. I had to pay for the whole thing myself. I said, no more. I'll wait till it comes out. Amen. Amen. How many of you can say your life right now is full of unusual challenges. I mean, not the normal stuff that you've been doing. I mean, this is some new stuff. How many's got some new stuff going on? Some things that you never expected would happen. You never thought that person would do what they did. You never thought that your job would do what they did. You never thought that your body would do what it did. You have no idea that sickness or that pain. So you got some unusual challenges. And how many's got some unwelcome pain? Yes, praise God. And I don't know about you, but I've got some uncalled for trouble. I did not stir it up. I did not leave the doorway open. I did not crack the door for Satan. I was doing my best to keep my porch swept clean. I was doing everything within my power to keep him out. And still, I'm fighting. How many can say that? Amen? Well, see, you may feel like you've had the wind knocked out of you. Matter of fact, you may feel like you've had the wind knocked out of you more than you ever could count. But I want you to know this. You might have been knocked down, but God gave you the power to get back up. Amen? God gave us the power to get back up. That's what 2 Corinthians is about. Paul was talking to a church that's in trouble. He's talking about himself. He's going to tell you what I've gone through. And I want you to notice Paul describes his physical weakness, his continual troubles. He talks about through all of this, he overcomes all these failures that's happening. You see, it's not about what happens to you. It's about what happens through you through this. It's not about feeling like you got knocked down. Let me tell you something. God doesn't count how many times you got knocked down. God counts how many times you got back up. Amen? Get back up. Get back up. You say, well, I don't feel like it. Get back up. God's not through with you. Amen. God wants you to stand. Amen. All right, so in verse 8 and 9, Paul makes four statements that tell us how we should respond to trouble. Number one, it says we are hard pressed on every side but not crushed. I want you to know this. Pressure will not defeat you. Sometimes you think it is. How many has ever felt like I got one nerve left and you standing on it? Amen? How many times you want to say, son, if you don't get out of my face, man, if you don't move, woman, can you please? Guess what? We all go through it. We all feel it. They said we're pressed hard on every side, but not crushed. The word pressed means walking through a crowd where people surround you and literally press against you. It also speaks about grapes in a wine press. Once they pull the grapes off of the vine, they actually beat them and get them ready. Then they throw them in the wine press, and then they get in there and they stomp them. Have you ever felt like you've been pulled off the vine, beat, and thrown in a vat and stomped on? The pressures of life may seem to squeeze us, but you will not be utterly crushed. God's got you back. So we're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. I like one verse that says, we catch it from every direction. We can say amen. We catch from every direction, but we do not let them squeeze the life out of us. Amen. Sometimes I on the face of life, and somebody squeezes right into a mirror. Amen. Hard pressed on every side, but we're never hemmed in. Pressure will not defeat you. Tell somebody pressure will not defeat you. I remember one day I was working in a baler at Procter & Gamble, and I had it locked out. I knew I had it locked out, and I was in this baler. This baler made bales big enough that it would take a bunch of us to make one bale. That's how big this bale was. It was big as a third of that pew, and it was about twice the width. I'm in there working on this baler and working on the piston. I'm in there working. Nobody can hear me. Nobody can see me because I've crawled down a little shaft. And I'm down there working with a flashlight. And somebody come up and I heard the noise. It sounded like the piston was starting up. And I thought, oh no. I went in 6'1", was going to come out 1'6". I screamed, I'm in here! And I got out real fast as I could because I was all turned all around. I jumped up the best I could. I was hearing it like it was starting up. I got up and run, and somebody actually had pulled an air hose over in a place they didn't normally have it, and they were using air, compressed air. And so it was not the piston, it was that air. I looked at him, and I wanted to climb out and hit him with a wrench. Scare me that bad. Go ahead and do it again. But remember, pressure. I didn't want to be squished. Pressure will not defeat you, even though you feel like you... How many think you've had all you can take at times? Guess what? When you think you've had all you can take, God says you can take more. God knows how much you can take. It's like as a coach. As a coach, many times, I'll be down there working with him. I remember that time, and you've heard me talk about it, D.C. D.C., I was a defensive coach, and I said, D.C., I need you to go in that line. I need you to tear the hit off that quarterback. Very Christian talk. Tear his head off, and he was tearing his head off. So the offensive coach in practice said, okay, I want y'all to double-team D.C. Do not let him get back here. And so they were double-teaming D.C., and when they double-teamed, they were hurting him. They were hurting him bad. And he was down on the ground, and he rolled over, and I could see the tears falling out of his helmet. They hit him hard. I mean hard. Sounded like three rams hit him. Bam, bam, bam. And I looked down, and here's my son. I'm his coach. I'm also his dad. And I see the tears coming out of his helmet. He's trying to get his breath back. And instead of going, there, son, I love you, buddy. You're going to be okay. I said, son, focus. Get back up. Breathe. You hit hard. You hit fast. And you hit first. He said, but daddy, and I said, no, this is coach. Hit hard, hit fast, hit low. He got up, and inside of me, I was going, I just told my boy, I'm watching him cry. I just got up and told him all that. But see, as coach, I knew what he could take. I knew what he was capable of doing. After he got up, he started cleaning their clock. He cleaned their clock so much to left him alone. But see, if I'd have sat back there and coddled him and hugged on him, now, remember, sometimes God backs up and allows things, but he always goes through it with you to help you handle it. Principle number one, life is a struggle. I love this from the Marine Corps. I must learn to adapt and overcome. Every Marine I've ever worked with, when Linda's hiring people to work in her place, she says, honey, I got this application today, and he's a Marine. And I told her, I said, hire him. And she said, well, you're not the one hiring him. I am. I said, I know, but you need to hire him. And she said, I was just telling you. I weren't asking your advice about whether I should hire him or not. I said, hire him. She said, why? I said, because he's been taught to adapt and overcome. I said, every Marine I've ever worked with, they were awesome people. They would just get up and they would do it. Even if they got knocked down, they'd get right back up and they keep on going. She says, why is that? I said, because they're taught to charge a hill with bullets coming at them. They're trained under live ammo. I said, they know how to get it done. Hire him. She said, you're not hiring him. I am. I said, it's okay. You won't regret it. And we'll leave that one alone. Because she hired him and she's had some regrets. Amen. Okay. Troubled means to be pressed, squeezed, oppressed, hedged in, pressured. And distress means to be kept in a narrow, cramped place to be crushed. And on every side means every which way you can ever imagine, in every place and on every occasion, distress is coming at you as hard as it can possibly come. You know, I got a call Wednesday and asked me the possibility, because somebody had backed out of Relay for Life, could possibly, if I could go do the luminary ceremony. They were going to have it in the gym in Washington. I said, well, let me know, because I got a lot of things going on. If you'll let me know ahead of time, I'll make sure I make room for it. Let me know by Thursday, and I'll make room for it. Well, they didn't let me know Thursday. They didn't let me know Friday morning. So I called Friday morning just to make sure they didn't answer the phone. So I text them at lunchtime. I'm just making sure. Do you still need me? And at 5 o'clock, they said, can you please come. And I'm thinking, we got to get here. We got all these new songs we're doing. And I want to be able to know these songs and all this stuff's going on, plus all the other stuff that yesterday from 3 o'clock to 10 o'clock, there was a mess of stuff going on here. There were several events happening here. And so there was so much going on. And I was trying to work on my sermon for this morning and tonight. And so at 5 o'clock, she said, "Yes, I need you bad. Are you going to be here?" And so I went, "Yes." So I left here, run up there, and because it was raining, it was in the gym. And I said, "Would you like me to say something before I pray?" And I said, "Yes, say whatever you want to." And honestly, I didn't realize that they were going to try to make it solemn and quiet. So I said, "You know, I lost somebody very precious to me in 97. My mama, she had a tumor in her belly along with all that diabetes and all that stuff. But the tumor's what finally got her." And I said, I lost my very precious to me in 97, but one of the last things she told me was to keep on keeping on. And I said, "That's what I'm doing. That's what y'all were doing here right now." And they'd cut down the lights. I said, "How many here is keeping on keeping on?" And they went, "And you heard somebody." I said, "No, come on, I want to hear it." And they got loud. I said, "Oh, come on, you can do better than that." And they got really loud. And I said, "Now let's give Jesus a hand clap." And then everybody got way loud. I went to prayer and I come back and sit down with Linda. I said, she said, "Honey, I think it was supposed to be quiet." And I haven't heard a whole lot, but I'm pretty sure. Okay, but here's what I'm trying to say is, things get happening. You're not even paying attention because it's so hard. Don't listen. Don't worry. Life is a struggle. God's going to help you. Watch this. Confusion will not get you. How many have been confused before in the middle of all this? The believer may be perplexed, but God says his saving power keeps him from despair. Perplexed means to be at a loss, to be doubting, not knowing, questioning, wondering which way to go, what to do, and what to say. And it means you might be perplexed and unable to find an answer, but God's not going to let you be hopeless and have no confidence and assurance in despair, because even if you don't know where you're going and what you're doing, God does. And God says, "Just drop me a line." You know, a couple of days ago was my mother's birthday, and I was riding down the road, and I had to look at the calendar, and I said, "Something's wild about this day. Something's different. I can't remember what it looked like." I said, "Oh, no wonder it's Mama's birthday." And so I wrote Linda and said, "Well, no wonder I feel so funny. This is Mama's birthday. Been dead since 97. And Linda says, "You want to do something tonight to commemorate it?" I said, "Don't worry, dear. I've already sent her a card." And Linda wrote back and said, "Excuse me?" I said, "Yeah, I sent a card, and I sent it express mail." And she wrote back a big question mark. And I called her. She said, "Honey, please tell me you're all right." And I said, "No, I've already sent her a card." I said, "I prayed to God. I said, God, if you will, please do me a favor. I want you to get my mama, slow her down a little bit. I know she's having fun. And tell her I love her. And I miss her. And my dad has lost his ever-loving mind. Tell him all that." And Linda said, "Oh, okay. I got it now." I said, "Yeah, see, God can do things we can't do." Okay. Principle number two, when we're confused, always remember that Jesus is never confused, ever. There's never been a time when Satan confused him, ever. You may face circumstances that are so confusing. Fatigue wears us down eventually where we can't even think. Amen. But when we're at our wits' end, God is just getting started. He does his best work when we have no idea what we're doing. Amen. He does his best work. Amen. Opposition will not deter us. We're persecuted but not abandoned. Persecuted means to pursue, as a hunter pursues his game. Jewish opponents followed him. They attacked his character and they mocked his message. They stirred strife. They never gave him a moment's rest. Every place Paul went, there's two things that started: revival and riot. Amen. How would you like to know that would be your act? Look, everywhere you go, you start a revival and a riot. That's exactly what was going on. The New Testament translated as, "We are hunted down." But you remember this now, the door of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. When you feel like you're being hunted down, like Satan's got you on the top of his list, be careful, because God's going to do something special. special for you. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, Paul describes a situation like this. A wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. They're looking at me, they're coming at me, but guess what? God's still in control. Principle number three, opposition will not deter us. Principle number three, we always have a refuge. The believer may be persecuted, but he's not forsaken. God has never forsaken us. Look backwards. You can't judge his faithfulness going forward. You've got to look backwards. If you can look backwards, you'll see God's never left you. That's awesome. That is so, so awesome. I had a friend a little while back, lost his mom. And I found out about it when it was too late to actually do anything about it. So I called him up. And I called him up and I told him how sorry I was. And he said, this is that God thing again. He said, I was just thinking about you, and I was getting ready to pick up my phone and call you. And I said, yep. I said, God's awesome. And I started telling him some things. And I said, I can't be there, and I'm sorry. I said, but here's some things I want you to remember. And I began to tell him a few things. I heard him get real quiet on the other end of the line. And then he told me, he said, you know what? That's so awesome. He said, I won't forget this. He said, matter of fact, this phone call has spoke volumes to me. You see, he's hurting. And he has somebody else that's gone through that pain. Call him up and speak to him. Not from some book, but somebody that's gone through it too. And give him something that'll help. You see, that weren't me. That was God. See, God never forsakes us. Even when you feel like you just have no answers, God will send somebody your way or something and help you. Psalm 46:1 says, God's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It means he's right here, right now. Hard hits won't destroy us. You just tell my boys in football, hit hard, hit low, hit fast, and hit first. I said, it's going to hurt you no matter what you do, but if you hit hard, you hit low and you hit fast and you hit first, he's going to feel it a whole lot more than you will. We're struck down, but not destroyed. You know, I was trying to teach DC one day. I was on the way to a wedding, so I couldn't be there for his game. And so I had him in the house and he had his pads on. And I was teaching him how to spin out of a block. And so I was in the living room and I said, I had to go, so I was really doing this real fast. I said, I want you to hit me hard, and we're going to spin out of this block. The only problem was he was wearing his pads, but he wasn't wearing a jersey. So his pads were just like having shells up there. I still have that right here, if you want to see it, after service. I got a scar right here that I've told you since D.C. was a little teenager. I said, hit fast, hit first. Of course, he didn't hit low because he was spinning out of a block. I said, I want you to hit me like you've never hit me before. And when he did, right here, you'll see it. It's about an inch and a half long. He caught my finger in one of those things and spun out. And when he spun out, blood just went. And I said, son, you got that one. Go ahead. You got it all figured out. Listen. Cast down means smitten, struck, knocked down suddenly. It means, listen, we're knocked down, but we're not destroyed. We don't perish. We don't strike out. This is the quality of an awesome Christian. When you get knocked down, you get back up. You get knocked down, you get back up. Get knocked down, you get back up. The supreme characteristic of a Christian is not that he does not fall, but that every time he falls, he rises again. It is not that he's never beaten, but he's never ultimately defeated. He may lose a battle, but he knows that in the end, he can never lose the campaign. Hard hits won't destroy us. You know, Mike Tyson, you remember Mike Tyson? That night, I paid for the fight. That was the first time. The second time, the guy didn't pay for it. The first time, I paid for him for the Mike Tyson Holyfield fight, and one of my guys got sick, and I had to go to the hospital. So I was on the phone. We didn't have cell phones. And so I kept calling on the phone, and I said, give me something. I'd call back every 5 or 10 minutes to ask for the next round. You know, what had gone on? But Mike Tyson remarked this. Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Have you ever felt like you were punched in the mouth? I love what George Foreman said. George Foreman, this is better than that. George Foreman said, sure, the fight was fixed. I fixed it with a right hand. Principle number four, and I'm closing. You have to make the choice after you go down to get back up. The choice is yours, not Satan's. The choice is yours, not Satan. Proverbs 24:16, a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again. But the wicked man shall fall in the mischief. How do we do it? Go a little bit further down. 2 Corinthians 12 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God has your back. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. 2 Timothy 2 and 12 says, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. God has our back. If we don't faint, we win. The word faint means to go down and stay down, give up. If we faint not, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will get it back if you do not faint. God has our faith. I want us to pray. Father, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You have never, ever, ever sounded retreat. You have never, ever lost a battle. You're an awesome God. You are a powerful God. And I know, Lord, that no matter what, you are in control. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord, as we feel like we're being beat to death sometimes by Satan, knowing that no matter what, you've got our back. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, to anoint in a very powerful way. And we'll give this day unto you, for we trust you totally right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now look, before we go, I want to tell you that I had a guy tell me. The guy was testifying. And it seemed like Satan was trying to take everything away from him. Everything. And he even asked me, what do I do? And I said, well, what you got to do is you got to get back up. You got to get back up. You got to give it to God. You got to trust him. And the next time I saw him, he told me out of the clear blue sky, he gets a phone call. He gets a better job than the one that he lost. He got better stuff than what Satan had taken away from him. And he said he trusted God and God took care of him. And he said, you can't stop me from believing it now. Matter of fact, he said, after watching what God did in this circumstance, which looked like I was totally going to lose it, after God showed me this, I decided that I would trust him from here on out. Because God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. Let's all stand. Next week is Mother's Day. How many know that? How many remember that? It's Mother's Day, so it's going to be a little different next Sunday. But after that, we're going to have some more. Now, I know some of y'all might have thought that when I said, Somebody's feet stink that it was going to be just a big old cut-up sermon. They weren't a bunch of cut-up. We got down to some serious stuff today. So don't let the title fool you. You know, so God's doing something here. And we got to let him keep on working. Amen? That is so funny when Benny said Thursday night, I've been gone for weeks out there in the woods. And the first thing I hear when I come back is my feet stink. Father, we love you. We thank you for this night. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. Lord, help us, God, to realize, Lord, we may be getting hit hard, but you got our back. We're not losing. We're winning. We're on the winning side. And I thank you for it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, have your will and way in our lives. We thank you for it.